AM Amory and WBZH 910 AM W245 CT Hayward.
Always streaming ABC on the Civic News, Media
I'm
app.
Rena Roy. In a filing today, special counsel Jack Smith saying he's prepared to take former President Trump to trial by January 2nd of next year over his federal indictment for seeking to overturn the 2020 election. That's less than 2 weeks before the Iowa caucuses. A rare move from Iran as five Americans have been put under house arrest. Four were in the maximum security Evin prison. All expected to eventually be freed.
This is an exchange for the release of $6 billion from South Korea for Iran that had been frozen due to sanctions. The U.S. says the money must be used for humanitarian purposes, but it's unclear how they will guarantee that.
ABC News Chief Global Affairs Correspondent Martha Raddatz. An emergency declaration, President Biden pledging, quote, every asset we have will be available to those impacted by the Maui fires. The death toll at 36 and expected to rise. This is ABC News. Louisville, Kentucky area schools abruptly closed until Monday after long delays with school buses.
The decision to cancel comes after what Jefferson County Public School Superintendent Dr. Marty Polio called a transportation disaster on the first day of the school year Wednesday, when the final child wasn't dropped off at home until 9:58 p.m. He says district staff will work around the clock to address the issue.
We're going to be having our bus drivers have extra days. We're going to pay them extra days to practice their new routes, which is a big challenge, I understand, for them, but they need more practice with this.
The problem comes as the district increased the number of school start times this year from 2 to 9. The 96,000 student district is the largest in Kentucky. John Shannon, ABC News, Louisville.
Ukrainian officials are evacuating up to 12,000 civilians from heavy fighting near the eastern city of Kupiansk. The area has been the scene of intense fighting this week as Russian forces make an offensive push in the region near Kharkiv. About 600 children among those being evacuated from the area. Rena Roy, ABC News.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
For Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Here's what you need to know in Amory. Hearings this week are over in the Lily Peters homicide case in Chippewa County, and now a judge will decide next year whether the lone suspect, a 15-year-old boy, will be tried as an adult or if the case will go to juvenile court. The teenager is charged with murdering 10-year-old Lily Peters last year and leaving her body in the woods near her Chippewa Falls home. Testimony in reverse waiver hearings this week focused on the boy's mental health and treatment options available in state prison. If the boy is convicted of homicide as an adult, he would serve a mandatory life sentence in prison. If the case moves to juvenile court, he would be under supervision for the next 10 years. Judge Stephen Gibbs will decide in January where the case will go. Two homicide suspects in Eau Claire County are being tried separately. Brandon Gaston and Tracy Clark are both accused of killing an Altoona man and hiding his corpse. The body of 79-year-old Dennis Shoddy was found decapitated in the Rock River in Rockford, Illinois last April. Gaston will appear in court later this month. Clark's next court appearance is in October. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cusk.
One call can do it all. Your business's message can be broadcast across the entire state of Wisconsin through the Civic Media Network of stations, or we can focus the campaign in your hometown. We have the flexibility. You have the control. Civic Media, 608-819-8255.
Did you know the Wisconsin State Fair is 172 years old? It still celebrates the industries important to our state's history, like agriculture. But every year, new attractions and items are added. This year, there's more than 100 new foods to try. So what do you think topped the culinary list last year? Flamin' hot Cheetos chicken on a stick? Deep-fried old-fashioned? Or Pino pretzel popper brat? The answer's coming up. The Wisconsin State Fair didn't start in its current home of West Allis. The first was in Janesville along the Rock River, then moved to different locations the next 40 years. The original cream puff has been around almost as long. Close to 400,000 are gobbled up every year. So which food was number one last year? It was the Pino pretzel popper brat. It came out on top. The State Fair is a true slice of Wisconsin, and it runs through August 13th. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Civic Media isn't just another broadcast company.
We're your neighbors. We bleed green and gold.
And we love nothing more than to help fellow Wisconsinites succeed.
Whether your business wants to advertise to your local community or the entire state, Civic Media can help. Find out more at civicmedia.us.
pursuing the truth wherever it may lead. The Todd Alba Show, weekday afternoons from 1 till 3. Join the conversation. Get involved. The Todd Alba Show on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Program may be pre-recorded.
One second here. I'm briefly dressing. Well, that's not right. I just realized that didn't. That's going to lead to some interesting questions. It's the Matt McNeil Show for your Thursday afternoon. Good to be with you, Matt and Brett, here today. Matt Robison is going to join us right now. Great editorial with him about this whole idea that, you know, these indictments somehow help Trump. They don't. I'm with him on that. And as a matter of fact, we can expand off on this, the doom reporting for the left, which seems to happen with aplomb nowadays. We'll talk to him about that. How about this? Robert Brill back with us again today, 4:35 this afternoon. Brill, he sold out. He's at Acme. He sold out last night. He sold out tonight already. He's got shows on Friday and Saturday. So, yeah. How about that?
Well worth it. Very funny. So people who got their tickets and sold out that show, they're going to get their money's worth.
They're going to get their money's worth. Brill is fantastic. Can I just say how happy I am for Robert Brill? Robert Brill is literally one of my favorite comedians. Love the guy. This was 6 weeks after I started here. This was 13 plus years ago. 6 weeks afterwards, I got a guy call from a comedy club, said, would you like to bring me? I want to bring a comedian by, local guy, pretty funny. Said, sure. Brings him by and by. It's Brill. He and I sit and chat. I'm just rolling. I am rolling with that interview. Every time I talk to him, he makes me laugh. And I have watched as he's worked the upper Midwest. Now he works nationally, and he's selling out Acme. And how cool is that? Go get your tickets. We'll talk about that with him coming up here before too long. 952-946-6205. I got to, you know, one of the more quirky things about me, Brett, my cousin is Joy Summers, who is the fantastic food journalist over at the Star Tribune. I got to have lunch with her today. That was nice. I'm always, you know, where do you want to eat? It's like, why are you asking me? You are like the goddess of food. You tell me where we're needing going. Had a nice little one. Went over to Kenwood, over in the Kenwood neighborhood over there, right off Lake of the Isles. Delightful. Good stuff. Enjoyed that greatly. Got to see my auntie and got my mom was there. It was nice to have everyone together. It is. Do you have, we always have some relative that's kind of got kind of a unique, cool job. Do you have anyone or?
Oh, I'm trying to think. Not that I can think of off the top of my head. No.
Well, you're the cool one.
Maybe it's me. Yeah,
now,
yeah.
I don't want to pat myself on the back too much.
Well, I do like, I have a cousin that actually for a while was, he was SpongeBob SquarePants over at the MOA.
Was he?
Yeah.
Now that's solid. Yeah. There you go. Because, I mean, at any given time on the planet, how many SpongeBob SquarePants are there running around? I was, when I was doing metro traffic and I was doing airborne traffic, which sucked, by the way, just flying around that beach grass sport around the metro, not fun. But when I was doing that, I mean, it was always a great intro into like, you know, cocktail party conversation because I'm literally one of maybe 400 or 500 people nationwide or worldwide even that's an airborne traffic reporter. And it's like not many people do stuff like that. And that's kind of cool. Now, I prefer very much to be in the studio, 100%.
Did they ever let you fly the chopper?
No, it wasn't a chopper. It wasn't a chopper. It wasn't. I just watched Predator 2.
Yeah.
I did not have to get to the chopper. I did not have to do that.
I'm hoping you did. That would be awesome if you did.
I did fly the Beechcraft Sport every once in a while. There's like, hey, can you take the, you know, okay, we're in a two-seater. There's no like row and restroom behind us. It's just a little plane. Hey, can you take the control for a second? Sure. I don't know where you want me to take it. And all of a sudden you start doing that thing where you're trying to adjust the flight and you realize I don't have the nuance of this. I'm like, okay, we're going down fast. Okay, we're going up fast. We're going down fast. Okay, I'll take it from here. Thank God. Thank God. I understand that this is a chimp zone, that any, you know, any person with a voice could come in here and blah, 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 blah. But I can't do that pilot stuff. Hey, just, yeah, sure. Let me buzz the big buildings downtown. Yeah, why not?
I just think maybe budget cuts. Well, you got to do the reports and fly the thing at the same
time. Do not give them ideas. Do not give them ideas. Actually, there's a lot of guys that do that. Do you know that?
Oh, seriously?
Yeah, they are. That they've. It's mainly helicopter guys, and especially like L.A., but there's a lot of people that do that. That basically, I'm taking it up, and I'm the talent in the bird. I'm the talent here. I'm the person making the noise. 952-946-6205. How much experience do you have with razor wire?
I can't say a ton.
Oh, come on. You've got a criminal background. I already know it, Brett.
None that I'll admit to.
You and your pandas. An inmate attempted an escape at a Minnesota prison before he ultimately became stuck in the razor wire and was taken back into custody. The Minnesota Department of Corrections spokesperson tells the Bring Me the News crew that the incident happened around 9 p.m. at MCF Faribault Go Fighting Mad Prisoners. The man initially made it over the interior fence, but then got caught on the razor ribbon as he attempted to climb the exterior fence. And by the way, there's a picture of the razor wire. What are you thinking, dude? You know, what are you like an Olympic gymnast? You think you're going to flip over that thing? Staff were able to cut him free, and the inmate was taken to hospital with injuries not considered to be life-threatening. He was brought back to the facility a few hours later. He has not been identified. It is a minimum security facility. I'm going to presume he's not going to be there for long. The reason I bring this up is when I was in the military, because, yes, believe it or not, at one point, I was your front line of defense. Yeah, you should be scared. Oopsie, am I supposed to hit the nuclear bomb like that? I was your first line of defense. I had to work with razor wire. Everyone does. I mean, you just kind of, it's something that if you get into certain zones, you kind of sometimes will wrap it around your vehicle or something like this. That stuff's a freaking mess, man. Even when you are the person in charge of it, you're going to get stuck, cut. Ugh. It's horrible, man. I wouldn't try to jump into it. Big old pile of it, like Linus into the leaves. You know, I don't know what you're thinking, man, but that is not a good call. You see razor wire, you can't get through that. It's like the alligator swamp. It's like, he ran off in that direction. No one's seen him since. Well, I think we're done here. I think we know what happened to him. I didn't James Bond it across the thing, so. What was that in television game back? Like you're way too young. You wouldn't even know it. The television game where you could jump over the alligators like that.
Did this television show last very long?
No, it's not a television show. For God's sakes, it was in television. Intelligent television.
Oh, gotcha.
When they used George Plimpton to sell it, and when you're a teenager, nothing screams buy more than George freaking Plimpton. This still had the most obnoxious controller of any video game console you could ever get, hands down. But still, I remember my parents looking at me play these video games and saying, look, he's going to be in computers. Look at him. He's playing Mr. Pac-Man. I bet he's going to be a CEO of a company soon. It's not how it worked. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205 is the phone number. I got a really bad story to get to, before I get to that, I want to give a bit of good story here. And this involves the guy we talked about a lot over the last few years, Jaleel Stallings. He was beaten by Minneapolis police officers after he shot at them in self-defense in 2020. He launched a nonprofit called the Good Apple Initiative to encourage good apples in law enforcement, government, criminal justice system, and community to work together to change the culture of Minnesota policing, even though he was a victim of many of his very institutions. 5 days after George Floyd was murdered by Minneapolis police, as police struggled to regain control of the city amid protests and riots, SWAT team drove around the city shooting 40-millimeter non-lethal rounds without warning at curfew violators from an unmarked van, not announcing they were police. Stallings, an Army veteran with a gun permit and a pistol, was hit in the chest with one of their rubber bullets, which, once again, they fired without warning or identifying themselves as the police. While he was standing there on Lake Street parking lot, he thought he'd been hit by a bullet, so he fired 3 rounds in the direction of the van, purposely missing them to scare off the shooters because he's a veteran and he knows that, you know, this is, you know, this is, you know, you don't just fire blindly as opposed to the Minneapolis Police Department at that time who were just firing blindly. The SWAT team spilled out of the van, then beat Stallings for 30 seconds, even though he had immediately dropped flat on the ground when they realized they were cops. He was hospitalized with a fractured eye socket, charged with 8 crimes, including attempted murder by murder of police officers. The incident made national headlines, caught the attention of then-President Donald Trump's campaign war room, which called Stallings a would-be cop killer. Fortunately, there was body cam footage which showed that, indeed, he was not the cop killer. The killer, surprisingly enough, was coming from inside their own house. Stallings was acquitted before a jury of body camera and for surveillance videos contradicted the officers' stories. They lied. The officers lied repeatedly. The Reformer reported in September 2021, he later sued the city, won $1.5 million settlement plus cost and attorney's fees. He has moved to Houston and began working with his attorney, Eric Rice, on his deal of doing something to change the system. I want to remind everyone, once again, the police, you know, Arredondo, who was supposedly the good guy police chief, he knew he was innocent. The police knew he was innocent. I highly doubt the prosecutorial office didn't know that he was innocent. And they still, up until the very end, were trying to get him to take a plea deal. And he was acquitted because he did nothing wrong. And they lied over and over again. After, and by the way, that's not the important thing. The important thing is the police went on a hunting expedition in the city of Minneapolis. Good apple is essentially my response to what we saw and I actually experienced during my time involved in the criminal justice system. He said in an interview from Houston to Tuesday, it's focused towards bringing change to the nature of policing and bringing it to a point where it works for everybody by empowering the good officers or good apples in the system. The nonprofit will accept donations and have a website with toolkits for shifting the culture of the portal where people can anonymously report police brutality. So, I'm bringing this up because this is a bit of good news. I mean, and giving Jaleel Stallings a massive round of applause and amount of credit because I don't know if I would be nearly the patient, calm voice that you are, my friend, after what had happened. If that happened to me, what had happened to you? I can honestly tell you that I'd be looking for blood, frankly, because they basically, the character assassination over and over and over again that they did. Just disturbing. I'm saying this story because I frankly don't want to mention this next story, but I'm going to have to mention this next story because it highlights the fact that if you do not have any kind of common sense gun regulation, tragedy will always happen. A toddler found one of his father's guns in the family home in Hinckley, fatally shot himself, according to court documents filed on Thursday. The gunfire occurred about 9 p.m. Tuesday in a home in the 500 block of Southwest 1st Street, according to the search warrant affidavits filed in the Pine County District Court. The court records identify the boy as Thomas Pausa Moore. He died less than 3 weeks shy of his fourth birthday. Searches of the home by the sheriff's office led to seizure of several guns, including an AR-15-style rifle, a shotgun, 9mm handgun that is believed to be the weapon that the boy fired. The filings disclosed. The sheriff's office had been tight-lipped so far about the death. It released the statement Wednesday afternoon tying the boy's death to a medical incident. Why? I mean, this is the Pine County Sheriff sounding like we have to defend the integrity of the gun over what actually happened to this poor 3-year-old boy. Well, the gun owner, this was just an oopsie. It's a tragic oopsie, but come on, it's an oopsie. No, it's not. It's a dead child. Pine County, why were you? Chief Sheriff's Deputy Scott Grice declined disclosure any further details Thursday other than say the case from his office will be sent to the county attorneys for consideration of charges. The Star Tribune generally does not identify the suspects before they're charged. According to the filings, the boy's father called 911 screaming for help because the boy had shot himself. Deputies and other emergency responders arrived to begin life-saving measures, but the boy was declared dead shortly after 9:25 p.m. The 26-year-old father and a roommate were in the basement when they heard something that sounded like falling, followed by a gunshot. The father ran upstairs and located the wounded boy. The father said the deputy that he kept a 9mm handgun in his bedroom, and his son got a hold of it while upstairs alone. Along with the 6 guns seized from the home, evidence collected included cartridges, casings, and bullet fragments. Okay. So I want to make sure we understand this. because this is not a six shooter where you know you've seen the old cowboy movies where you got put a bullet in each of the chambers and you spin the barrel, and if a barrel is lined up, if you cock the gun and the safety's off, it's going to fire, right? I want to make sure we understand, and this is in Hinckley, not exactly the crime capital of the upper Midwest. Well, this guy had a loaded 9mm with a round in the chamber. You have to cock the gun and get the round in the chamber on a 9mm, if I'm not mistaken. It's not like you slap in the magazine and a bullet automatically goes in there. You have so the magazine was loaded with live rounds, and there had to be a round in the chamber. That even whatever happens next, the only way that whether this child shot himself intentionally or unintentionally, or if the gun had fallen and the bullet come on out and hit him, as it sounds like it might have, something like that might have happened. We don't know. But the reality is this responsible gun owner with a child in the house had a loaded 9mm round gun with a round in the chamber. Now, was the safety on? Think about that. Gun guys want to skip past the fact that there are a series of things here that have to happen before a gun is accidentally fired. But you guys consistently do not take this seriously. First of all, you can't fire the round, a bullet, if there's bullets in the gun, if there are no bullets in the gun. So you have to intentionally put bullets in the gun. They don't just fly to the gun. A human hand has to take the gun, load them into the magazine, smack the gun into the 9mm. They have to be there. The second thing is, you then have to cock the gun to put a round out of the magazine into the chamber ready to be fired. Thirdly, you have the safety on, and then you basically, if you're dumb enough to have a gun like that, you've got to have some brain power to store it where someone can't just accidentally get it at a level where a three-year-old could grab it, because that's the case. They were downstairs. This had to be on top of a nightstand or under a pillow or someplace where the young child was able to have access to a loaded gun with bullets in the magazine, a round in the chamber, and somehow the safety off. Now, to be fair, the gun could have gone off if the child did tumble and drop the gun, it went off. But you see, if you didn't have the rounds in the chamber, and if you didn't have a freaking round if you didn't have the bullets in the magazine and the round in the chamber, even if it would have fallen, it would not have gone off. And I highly doubt that if the safety was on, that even if he dropped it, it would have gone off. Most guns, you know, if you try intentionally to get them to file off around, maybe. But if that safety's on, generally, even if it's accidentally dropped on the ground, it's not going to fire off around. So my guess is going to be this was a gun with bullets in the magazine, a round in the chamber, and the safety off, kept at a level where a three-year-old could find it in a house where a three-year-old was. Or as Republicans call it, responsible gun ownership. I really wish there's going to be someday I could stop talking about these stories. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. We'll take a break and come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Hey, it's Tom. Going solar is a great way to save on energy costs. By using the sun to power your house, you can feel good about an investment that will last for years. All Energy Solar is a locally trusted turnkey solar installer that's been around since 2009. They provide custom designs and quality installations of solar panel systems that work for your energy needs. One of the best parts about going solar is it's an investment that can pay for itself. Your system can pay back 100% of the installation cost in as little as 8 years. Plus, a system from All Energy Solar can pay back over 300% of its cost over its lifetime. There's also many tax incentives and rebates available, and the experts at All Energy Solar can walk you through the entire process to make sure you're saving as much as possible. So go green, both financially and environmentally, with All Energy Solar. Get a free, no-obligation assessment from All Energy Solar by calling 800-620-3370 or visiting allenergysolar.com.
Hi, this is Todd from 30 Bales on Main Street in Hopkins. My co-founder Tom and I developed our restaurant to celebrate everything Midwestern cuisine has to offer. Our upbeat neighborhood gathering place brings together bright personalities, bold recipes, clean ingredients, and craft spirits that play with unique flavors of the Midwest. The menu at 30 Bales is inspired by seasonal ingredients grown close to home. Find us across the street from the Hopkins Center for the Arts at 1106 Main Street with plenty of free parking. Go to 30bales.com to learn more.
This is Elizabeth, the host of Exploring Sovereignty with Elizabeth. Each week, our show explores higher consciousness and pathways to freedom with heart-centered thought leaders. We shine a light on your brilliance, what you pay attention to, and how that has supported your process of becoming free from the heavier issues that affect you. There are many pathways to sovereignty. Join us each week as we explore your sovereignty and consider what's your pathway to becoming free. That's Exploring Sovereignty with Elizabeth, Sundays at 11 a.m. or anytime on your favorite podcast app.
Like I said, I welcome the day I don't have to talk about these things. And what's hard for me is what I'm about to get, which I already know. I'm going to get pro-gun kook guy who is going to come in. But man, this is one case. It's a tragic accident. Why are you making political? I'm not making it political. I'm just weeping for the freaking child because this was an incredibly preventable death. This was an incredibly preventable death that you guys, you will look at all the stuff. The fact that there were bullets in the magazine. The fact that there was a round in the chamber. That likely the safety was off. And that this gun was kept at a level where a three-year-old could find it. And you say, that's what the Founding Fathers wanted. Founding Fathers wanted all the three-year-olds to blast their heads out. No, they didn't. No, they did not. They did not want that. He had an AR. This guy had an AR-15. If we do not... You guys always say the same thing. The gun didn't kill anybody. Somebody killed somebody. Well, here's a case where this is a three-year-old who doesn't understand what they've got. And so the gun plays a pretty big role here. But even if it was grown adults, one of the things I keep having to hammer to you clowns is that this is a vehicle of destruction, which when someone picks it up is lethal. This is why do you think I come when Ricky Cobb is shot and the officer just wildly fires in the car? They're firing in the car because they don't want to have to track the guy down. They're firing in the car. Don't give me this. Well, he could have used the car as a weapon. He didn't use the car as a weapon. He didn't use the car as a weapon. Your hypotheticals upon hypotheticals upon hypotheticals to vilify how justified they were are just ludicrous. He fired three rounds in a car that was moving basically at his while his partner was on the other side of the car. That's not responsible gun ownership. If you were in the military, you would have learned that. But apparently with police warrior training, blah, 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 it tells you doesn't matter who's on the other side of that barrel, just fire away. Guns are lethal. And if you don't understand that, you should never have one. Come on, buddy, stay with me, keep breathing. Well, you probably should have thought about that before you put three rounds in the guy. Keep breathing, buddy, keep breathing. Oh, he's dead? Oh. You don't want to acknowledge the fact that the person could have an axe, and guess what? They're not going to kill 12 people in a crowd. That somehow, strangely enough, in most households where there are guns, the axe is stored away safely, away from the children. Don't go touch the axe, but I got guns all over the house. Nothing is as lethal as a gun. That's why they're guns. Guns are lethal. And if we continue to not treat them like that, we're going to, this is just the cost of it. And for someone to, and I guarantee you right now, there are people out there, man, I'm not happy the kid's dead, but you know, this is just the cost of freedom. No, it's not. It's not. It's delusional people who have been brainwashed by the gun manufacturers and bullet manufacturers into placing guns uber alles. Steve is in Minneapolis. He wanted to chime in on this. Welcome on in, Steve.
Hey, Matt. Good to hear your voice, and absolutely, I couldn't agree with you more. The parent of that three-year-old should be charged with child endangerment.
Completely agreed. How do you have a gun out like that at a place where a three-year-old could get it? Even if it wasn't loaded, there wasn't a bullet in the thing. How is that even possible?
It's bloody insane.
Yeah.
And you know what's even more insane, Matt?
What's that?
Dig this. It's a new product. It's called the JR-15, and it's basically it's an AR-15 for toddlers.
Oh, I saw that.
Fully functional.
Yeah.
Fully functional.
And they don't care. They don't care. And Steve, thank you very much. It's only a matter of time before one of those gets used by a kid to gun down classmates, and they're all going to say, you know, the Founding Fathers wanted 7-year-olds to haul an assault weapon on into their classroom and start gunning people down. That's what they wanted. That's just exactly what they wanted. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. Come on back. When I do return here, an opinion piece in Newsweek from Matt Robison, a podcast host and former congressional staffer, about, no, don't believe the hype about these Trump indictments. They don't strengthen him at all. We'll talk to him about that and some other issues along this line when we do return. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Hi, this is Chad from AM 950. Snap Construction is arguably the most well-reviewed roofing, siding, window, and insulation contractor in the metro. Ryan is so excited about working with AM 950 and our listeners that he wants to help us grow.
This is Ryan, owner of Snap Construction. I was friends with Chad long before I started marketing with him. I was a bit skeptical of radio advertising before Chad convinced us to run ads. The advertising's been so successful, we want to help the station grow. We've absolutely loved working with the listeners of AM 950, and we all know how extremely important this radio station is to the community. To help AM 950 grow, Snap Construction will be putting up proceeds to assist the station in marketing on social media. Snap Construction encourages you to follow, engage, share, and interact on the AM 950 social media platforms. Together, we can all work to ensure AM 950 continues to thrive and grow in our communities. We stand by our work with a lifetime craftsmanship guarantee. For a free estimate or more information on our financing, call 612-333-SNAP or check us out online.
I love my Toyota vehicles, so when it's time for me to get my service done, there's only one place I go, Rudy Luther Toyota. They know Toyotas inside and out. It starts with them checking your alignment and tire treads with their Hunter Quick Check Drive Inspection Service. Oil changes, tires, batteries, wipers, no matter what you need done, they can help you with reliable Toyota parts and the best service team in Minnesota. Check out their website, RudyLutherToyota.com, for service and parts specials just for Toyota vehicles. Get your Toyota serviced at Rudy Luther Toyota, 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
Hi, I'm Scott Chambaud from Chambaud Family Dentistry. We're the fear-free, shame-free dental office. We know dental anxiety and dental phobia are real. We'll take the time to get to know you and give you what you need to be comfortable at all times. We offer free nitrous oxide laughing gas and have high-tech options to help you feel calm and relaxed during your appointments. We'll help you get through every appointment in the most pain-free way possible. If you're having a dental emergency, we'll try and get you in the same day you call, because we don't like to see anyone in pain. As my daughter Rachel says,
if you don't see my dad, please see another dentist. Take care of your teeth because they're the only ones you get.
This is Chad, owner of AM 950. I've been going to Chambaud Family Dentistry for years. They get me in last minute when I'm in pain and make regular checkups easy and comfortable.
Chamblatt Family Dentistry in Hopkins and St. Paul. Find them online at ChamblattFamilyDentistry.com or call 1-800-FIX-MY-TEETH.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for partly sunny skies today with a high near 79. Tonight, showers and storms with a low around 66. And Friday, thunderstorms with a high near 85. If you're craving barbecue, then don't drive too fast or you'll miss Scott Jamama's Hot Barbecue, located at 3 West Diamond Lake Road in Minneapolis. Scott Jamama's offers mouth-watering baby back ribs, grilled chicken, and half-pound pulled pork sandwiches. Find their menu and more at scottjamamas.com.
AM950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, the Matt McNeil Show for your Thursday, 952-946-6205. Joining us right now is Matt Robeson. He is a podcast host, former congressional staffer, and he's written an exceptional opinion piece for Newsweek. No, these indictments don't strengthen Trump. That's just media nonsense. He's kind enough today to join us to talk about this this editorial opinion piece. Hi, Matt. Thank you very much. I appreciate the time.
Oh, I'm happy to join you and join the axis of Matt and Matt.
Well, I mean, it's always nice when I have someone who really understands me.
That's right. Deep personal level, right.
You and I are simpatico on this, because the minute that all of a sudden these, it wasn't when the indictments came down, the threats of the indictments came down, there was this narrative being pushed, I think, primarily by the right and as well by, I think, just the media, that, oh, this is the biggest mistake the Democrats are going to make. This, you know, Trump's going to be unbeatable. And I thought it was laughable. You clearly as well agree with that.
Okay, let's all be clear about this. If you're thinking that anything negative just strengthens Donald Trump, folks, that's the sword of Gryffindor. That's not Donald Trump, okay? I want to say this as clearly as I can. There is absolutely no evidence, if you look at the polling, that all of these indictments have helped Donald Trump. That's the entire point of my piece in Newsweek, and I am happy to run through the numbers. It's what Barack would have called the audacity of math. But when Donald Trump said just this past week, the indictments came in, it's like, oh, this is going to help me. Every time I get indicted, I go up massively in the polls, or some horse pucky like that. Not true. He's gone up an average of like a point and a half after his last two set of indictments, and after this last set came in, he went up 0.3 points. Like, that's like 0.3%. It's not true. It is total media nonsense,
and those numbers can be accounted for not by the masses, just Republicans who probably are just furious that he's being held accountable, that might not have been, you know, forever Trumpers. They just, okay, fine, I'm tired of the Democrats going after him. So those numbers are completely and totally understandable within the context.
They absolutely are. There's actually a really, I assume that all of your listeners are extremely intelligent and good looking too.
Yes.
So I'm going to go ahead and flatter them by using just a little bit of jargon for a second. There's something in polling known as differential non-response bias, which is just a fancy way for pollsters to make themselves feel important. And basically all it means is, if you're a super Trump fan and news like this comes in, then, yeah, there's going to be a little bit of rally effect where you're like, ah, oh, they're coming after my guy. And what it means is that you might be more likely to pick up the phone. If a pollster calls, you're more likely to actually answer the poll. And you see this effect happen after major news events on all kinds of issues for people who feel strongly about that issue. And it is very consistent with the effect that we've seen with all of these Trump indictments, a small bump that lasts for a couple of weeks and then fades away. It's what we saw after the Mar-a-Lago raid. It's what we saw after the first impeachment. It's what we've seen after each of the first two tranches of indictments. It's what we're seeing right now. It's nothing to write home about.
Well, and it's similar to, I mean, this is just, it's narrative driving. And, you know, they basically want to seem like everything, we're always going to be the winner, we're always on top, we're always there. And it's, the reality is that this is there. It's damage control. It's good old fashioned damage control. And where is, I think it's helping him to a point within the Republicans. I mean, DeSantis is, you know, and DeSantis is not helping himself. But I mean, as his primary competitor this election cycle, he's falling off the cliff. And so henceforth, you know, I think some of the DeSantis supporters are saying, OK, fine, I'll just go back to Trump. But I don't necessarily feel as if it's going to resonate and create this massive wave back to Donald Trump come 2024 in any capacity. I think most people are furious with people that try to overthrow the government of the United States.
Well, I mean, I think that's exactly the right way to think about it. I mean, just to pose a thought experiment to all of your listeners, are there any Democrats, any independents out there, any Republicans who have moved on from Trump, and there are some, who are actually going to get this new evidence, these new indictments, look at that and say, oh, now I'm rallying back to Donald Trump. Boy, this really turned me around. What they're doing is they're basically looking in a mirror, seeing what they behold and liking it and saying, ah, everyone might be like this. And there's also a lot of motivated reasoning involved here, especially on the part of the Trump team. One of the effects that I think you're pointing to, that I think you're seeing, is that in the Republican primary, they are all afraid to just stand up and say the emperor has no clothes, or more accurately, the emperor is a raving lunatic who should never be trusted with the nuclear codes. And of course, that's why they're all backing down against him. They're all afraid to criticize him. They all come out with these mealy-mouthed statements after these indictments, like, well, you know, I guess. I mean, even Mike Pence, who's going to be called in this trial to testify against Donald Trump, has said, well, no one who has performed like this should be president. He can't even say the man's name. Again, just to overstretch the Harry Potter metaphor, the man ain't Voldemort, okay? It's all right, Republicans, to stand up to him. But this self-reinforcing narrative of all of this stuff only makes him stronger. You can't possibly go after him because it'll hurt you in the Republican primary. It serves Trump's purposes, and it helps keep all of his rivals in check.
There was, and I'm going to talk about this more in the next hour, but there was a town hall meeting for Tom Emmer, the Republican whip in the House, who is in Minnesota 6. And he actually was confronted by this. And this is, once again, you know, I think some people are confronting him because they're not of the same political ideology. But there are Republicans and what seems to be a larger growing number of Republicans who are of the mindset, if we're going down this path again, no, I don't want any part of this party. And they're just, like I said, I think when you touch on this, there's just a common sense thing that just is people trying to scream into the wind because they know that Donald Trump is truly rotten. And I'm seeing even Republicans who are, you know, very clearly in larger and larger numbers running away from Trump at this point.
You're right. I'm saying that because I think it too. So, of course, I want to reinforce what you think. But there's also some evidence behind what you're saying. For one thing, there's polling data that suggests that fewer and fewer Republicans believe that he, quote, did nothing wrong. And more of them express openness to pollsters about supporting someone else. The other interesting effect that if you look at the data, it's right there for anyone to look up, is Trump has touted how much of a fundraising boost he's gotten after these indictments. It is true. After the first set of indictments in New York, he did get a massive fundraising spike. You can find it. You can look up the data on WinRed. But what's interesting is that his fundraising bump after the second and the third set of indictments was much, much less. It seems to be wearing off. The other interesting thing is that when his rivals for the Republican nomination have spoken out against him, when they've gone after him, they have seen fundraising bumps. It seems like there is a portion of the Republican electorate that is thirsty for this. They actually want this. It's exactly what you were just saying, Matt. I mean, I think if they could find the last remaining strands of connective tissue in their spines and go down this road and say, you know what? Everyone else is vying to sort of like wait for Trump to fall and then inherit the MAGA voters. What if we went down a different path? What if we actually went after him? What if they all stood up together and did this? I think there is growing evidence that they would find that a much more productive approach, and they might give themselves a much better shot of slaying the demon and winning the nomination.
Matt Robeson joining us, talking about his editorial in Newsweek about the fact that, no, Trump is not being held by indictments. There is also this problem for Republicans. The mentality they want to be able to say is, sure, Donald Trump did something, but everyone does something, so it's equal. And, you know, we could talk about the fact that the reason why, that, you know, like on the classified documents is, it, you know, he was asked to give them back and he refused to do it and kept stashing them there. Sure, Mike Pence had some, Joe Biden had some from when he was vice president. The minute they realized they searched, they gave them all back and they were done with it. They did an extensive search. That's not what Trump did. And there's the difference. But I'll even give you a more blatant one. They're going after Hunter Biden right now. Everything they keep saying is happening is not happening. They've had testifying after testifying that he did nothing. Meanwhile, Jared Kushner, who worked in the White House, got $2 billion from the Saudis, which was literally, let's just call it what it was, a family payout to the Trump family to allow the Saudis to be able to murder whoever they wanted to. And the reality is these Republicans don't want to look at this. And there is this unbelievable lack of accountability on their one side while they're trying to keep trying to make hay on the other side. I think that a lot of people, maybe not the real diehard Trump fans, but even moderate Republicans that still do exist are like, yeah, okay, you guys are trying too hard to make a mountain out of a molehill here, while there's tons of mountains over here that you guys refuse to even look at.
Well, look, if the world were fair, and if we had a media that was actually accountable and trying to report and be even-handed, in a true, by even-handed, what I mean is objective, not just we have to present ourselves as finding fault with both sides, then everything you just said would have been made true by the media long ago. And this whole gambit of trying to both sides everything, well, everyone does this, would have been exposed a long time ago. You know, perfect example, James Comer, the Republican congressman who is like the Inspector Javert going after Hunter Biden. Here's a question for you. Where's the so-called bribe, James Comer? That was the headline in the Washington Post this morning. They have been going after Hunter Biden for a solid year now, holding hearings. They cannot find anything. Their desperation, their sweaty desperation, is beginning to reek. They have headlines on Fox News now where they're suggesting that because Hunter Biden made phone calls to the president and they talked about the weather, that there were secret weather-related codes being passed between the president and his son, and they really meant business, and storm clouds meant, I don't know, sales. You know, and that's all to cover the fact that their hero, their dear leader, had to draw with a Sharpie on a hurricane to make true the BS lie he had just told. You know, look, the entire Republican strategy is an example of what South Park and social psychologists call a DARVO: deny, attack, reverse victim and offender. And we should really focus on that last part. Their entire strategy is about reversing the victim and the offender. Because they have such deep offenses on their side, their only way to survive is to try and say what you just said. Everyone does this, and the very offenses that they have committed, oh no, see, it's actually happening over there. Yeah. It's happening over there, and it's all a smokescreen.
Well, and it's they're going after drag queens and saying, look, they're endangering kids, while they're trying desperately to cover up the insane amount of Republicans and Republican leaning people who have been, you know, endangering kids. And so that's their
Jim Jordan, anyone?
Yeah, exactly. Well, if we could
Denny Hastert, anyone? I mean, he's actually in federal prison, the former Speaker of the House.
Anton Lazaro.
I don't want to talk about his offenses. This is a family show.
Oh, Anton Lazaro. We just had he was sentenced to 21 years yesterday in Minnesota here with a guy was close with the Republican Party in Minnesota. Okay, the one thing though is this, and about this, these kind of stories, they would not have traction if not for a news media that likes to basically doom scroll liberals. They're basically, oh, you're about to lose again. Oh no, this is going to go bad. There is this undeniable, you know, gloom and doom narrative from the media. And that when I look at this, and you know, I'm glad you're calling this out, because the reality is, stop just taking their talking points and running and writing a news story off them. Because the reality is, even a very logical analysis of this argument would show it's ludicrous to think that a person getting indicted for crimes is going to help them out in the long run.
Yeah, I've had the former Chicago Tribune editor Mark Jacob on my show Beyond Politics, which, by the way, shameless plug, I urge everyone to subscribe to when you're not listening to Matt McNeil on the radio, which you should be doing all the time. And he points, I mean, this is something that he actually feels some ownership responsibility. He's actually apologized for on Twitter that he's been part of the mainstream media that has begun to adopt this stance of essentially being willing stenographers and therefore enablers for lying and the creeping autocracy that we're seeing from the Republican Party. The Republican Party long ago left behind the idea that they could win on a fair democratic playing field. And so you've seen them try to juke the vote, suppress the vote. And when they can't win via the vote, like we just saw in Ohio, they try and change the rules, move the goalposts. And if they still can't win under those circumstances, what you see is January 6th. And the mainstream media sees their role as essentially, I need to be invited to the right cocktail parties. I need to maintain my access to both political parties. So I'm going to take the quote from this side and I'm going to take the quote from that side. I'm going to report them equally as two equal points of view. My daughter at the dinner table last night was talking about a YouTube video in which flat earthers appeared alongside actual scientists debating the question of whether the Earth was flat. I pointed out the logical fallacy here. I'm sure you see it, and I'm sure all of your listeners see it as well. You're putting lies and scientific truth on an equal playing field, and you're suggesting that they should meet in the middle and come to a compromise. That is not the way this is supposed to work. And the news media's function is not to be stenographers. It is to reveal truth, present objective facts, and they're not doing it, which means they're not doing their job, and they're part of what's dragging down American democracy. They are.
And last point I want to ask you about is that, you know, part of this, of course, is that new narrative, as you just described perfectly there. But part of it is, too, there are too many Democrats, particularly moderate Democrats, that basically buy hook, line and sinker Republican talking points. I'm going to give out Dean Phillips. He's Minnesota 3. He's the guy that's now thinking, kind of floating the idea he might challenge in primary Joe Biden. Now, first of all, this, I don't care if someone primaries him. That's the system. If someone wants to, you're more than welcome to. I think Joe Biden's done enough to, you know, warrant getting reelected personally. But, you know, there is a system in place if you do want to challenge. That being said, when Dean Phillips comes out and says, I don't think he can win. What I'm not hearing is not a guy who's looking at the reality of all the stuff that Joe Biden has done, but is seeming to basically get his narrative from Republican talking points. And I think that there has to be this mentality of the Republicans are lying and you need to ignore them because they're not telling you the truth.
It's become even more important for Republicans. Look, when I was a congressional staffer, I was a congressional staffer for about 10 years and a campaign operative, ran a bunch of congressional campaigns, and political reality was different in those days in the 2000s. I mean, I worked for Blue Dog Democrats, I worked for centrist, moderate Democrats, and I think that there was a different political reality where it still made sense to kind of play toward the middle and, you know, accept on a good faith basis that there were different points of view on issues like, you know, economics, trade, even cultural matters. But now, as we've kind of covered here, there's such a vested interest from the Republican Party and their co-enablers, co-conspirators, unindicted co-conspirators at Fox News to distort and lie about the truth. I mean, take, for example, President Biden's record. This is a man who's presided over record job growth when Donald Trump oversaw the loss of 6.3 million jobs, the biggest growth in manufacturing jobs in 30 years, the lowest unemployment rate in the last 50 years. And you go down the numbers, the achievements of Joe Biden and this economy, and there's just no case. And yet you find Republicans out there saying Americans are really struggling in the Joe Biden economy. And it is, you know, it's a complete fabrication and distortion. And to accept it and run on it and assume that there's some middle ground, it's like the flat earthers versus the scientists. Some things there isn't a middle ground compromise.
And I don't think Dean Phillips is saying that verbatim, but he does seem to be echoing a lot of Republican talking points. And I think to myself, as you just laid out, you take a look at the record here. Joe Biden deserves another nod here. And, you know, we got to stop the doom scrolling and just do not buy Republican talking points as facts. Matt Robeson, once again, the podcast is Beyond Politics. It's available. I saw it was on iTunes. It's available pretty much everywhere, right?
Available pretty much everywhere. And we're also, and it's a video version on the Blue Amp channel on YouTube, where we're going to have some of this conversation as well, hopefully. So people should check that out. And look, if you want to escape kind of the both sides as I'm doom scrolling of the mainstream media, listen to Matt McNeil and check out Blue Amp and the Beyond Politics podcast.
And of course, and everyone knows Blue Amp from Cliff Schechter, of course, is spectacular there. I'll link to this actual video of this that you're talking about, this article as well. I'll link to the article a little bit later on. Matt Robeson, once again, Beyond Politics is the podcast. Go find that. Matt, thank you very much. I really appreciate the time today.
Absolutely a pleasure. Great to be part of the Axis of Matt.
Thank you. It's nice to be loved. I will take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Seward Co-op is now offering convenient self-serve and prepackaged hot options and salad bars at both the Franklin and Friendship stores. Breakfast items available daily until 11 a.m. and brunch served all day every Sunday. Their weekly lunch and dinner menus highlight cuisines from around the world. They offer vegan, vegetarian, and gluten-free options daily. 95% of the ingredients used are organic from small-scale, local community food producers whenever possible. More at seward.coop.
Hi, Matt McNeil for Rudy Luther Toyota. You've heard me talk about the Rudy Luther Toyota We Buy program. Now hear from someone who's actually done it, me. Our kid's car, the 2006 Toyota Sienna, served us well for 17 years, but it was finally time to say goodbye. The We Buy program is really simple. I gave them some basic information, we set up an appointment, and after a quick verification, they gave me an estimate and a check, and they made me a generous offer. It was that fast. See for yourself. Try the Rudy Luther Toyota We Buy program at RudyLutherToyota.com.
Hi, I'm Kelly Kirk.
I'm Chad Larson.
And I'm Joe Kirk.
Your hosts for Searching for Service. Tune in to Rotary's influential show and podcast, sharing touching stories of service locally and abroad.
We bring you weekly guests that connect, inform, and inspire our listeners on all things service.
We highlight diverse service opportunities that appeal to both Rotarians and people driven to serve in their communities.
Tune in Sundays at 3 p.m. or anytime via podcast. It's time
to stop searching
and start serving.
Turn to Auto Technical with your vehicle donation. Even though Auto Technical is a small nonprofit, we have helped more families with transportation than any organization in Minnesota. Since 94, we have reconditioned donated vehicles so they have a higher tax benefit. Call Richard at 612-919-5526. 612-919-5526 or autotech.org.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. By the way, once again, you can watch the show. It's radio for your eyes. It's available pretty much in all of our social media threads, right? Facebook, Twitter. Is it on Twitter?
Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Or X. No, I guess.
Well, X and then YouTube.
Sounds okay. Stupid saying that. It's on
yes,
X.
It does. Yes, it is. It's on Twitter. No one's X. Well, yeah.
It's like we're going to an adult website. We're posting it on X tonight. Yeah.
Oh, nothing. I wasn't there. I have no idea what you're talking about. He's right. Now, I want to say this about Dean Phillips. All right, you can listen to what I just said, and I say, you know, are you sure, Matt? This is where you want to go? Here's the thing I'm going to say. Joe Biden has had a freaking tremendous first term. You may not like that, but I think a lot of this narrative of both sides need a new option. And I don't get me wrong. I mean, if when we got to, you know, the same people running over and over again, it kind of sometimes gets ridiculous. But you don't throw out somebody who's actually accomplishing things. That's generally not what you do. And Joe Biden has accomplished things. And I get it. And this is what I mean by I think that sometimes you buy the press that's being put out there. I know a lot of moderate Republicans who of the mindset that you know they know Trump is trouble, but they really can't stand Joe Biden. And so what they're kind of hoping is, can we just get two new people? And when I hear Dean Phillips, I hear a lot of that. I hear this, we just need a change. You know, if you, Dean, if I can say this, you're in the House of Representatives. If you honestly feel as if Joe Biden is unqualified, then the thing you need to do is not tell Joe Biden that he can't run, because quite literally, because of the law, he can run. But introduce a constitutional amendment that says you can't be over the age of blank and serve in any office in the federal government. I don't think, I mean you with the things with Mitch McConnell and Dianne Feinstein, there are some legitimate arguments that could be made that, yeah, we should not just have lifetime appointments here in certain cases where, you know, it becomes a situation where they're clearly compromised because of their health. Now, Joe Biden so far is not that. He's just a relatively elderly man, but an elderly man that's getting things done. And I'm sorry, I am just not of the mindset of saying, hey, you've been fantastic, we're going to go with someone else. Yeah. My personal belief is Joe Biden deserves another term because he's been that good. Hour two, that's coming up next.
Are you ready to embark on a journey towards taking control of your health and well-being? I'm Candy Broffel, host of Green Tea Conversations. Join me every Sunday at 10 a.m. as I sit down with the local experts who are bridging the gap between mainstream medicine and complementary therapies. Each week, we explore topics in integrative medicine, nutrition, fitness, creative expression, personal growth, and sustainable living. So grab a cup of tea and join the conversation as we awaken to natural health. Visit us at naturaltwincities.com.
Don't drive too fast or you will miss Scott Jamama's Hot Barbecue. Scott Jamama's offers huge taste out of a little place. Located at 3 West Diamond Lake Road near the intersection of Nicolette Avenue and West Diamond Lake Road in Minneapolis, this tiny hole in the wall offers mouth-watering baby back ribs, grilled chicken, and half-pound pulled pork sandwiches. Don't forget to add the potato salad, spicy baked beans, twice-baked...
You're listening to WLAK 1260 AM Amory and WBZH 910 AM W245 CT Hayward. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.